Welcome to the context. I've been waiting for Jeff to episode 592 of the Context Machine. Jeff, I was really, really waiting for like the 7 second delay for you to say okay. Before I said I'm going to start. I'm Brian Chaffin. That guy is Jeff Gamet.
And I really entertain myself. Oh, tonight, Brian, I have got to be the funniest guy I know.
Excellent.
Hey, for all of you that are putting up with this, I mean, listening to the show, check us out at our newish home, contextmachine.io.
Yeah, I should change that in the script. It's not really new anymore, but you can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can reach out to us on Twitter at contextmachine.
Also, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is ZocDoc.
Money, 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 money. Money. And Jeff is going to tell you more about ZocDoc later in the show.
Brian, my chuckling when you went money, 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 I very clearly and vividly saw you in full costume and makeup as the MC.
Oh, no. It's funny enough. I was doing the 80s, early 90s song. But I didn't want to sing it because I didn't want to get like sued by the Record Label Association.
Right. Yeah.
Money, money, money. Money.
Money. And here I am thinking you're making an absolutely awesome cabaret reference.
Nope. It was an absolutely awesome other music reference.
Well, now it's not quite so funny.
You're welcome. So speaking of not so funny.
Oh, what I do now?
Well, you asked me about the Lord of the Rings, the new Rings of Power.
Oh, show. Right, the show that I can't remember the name of, and I keep calling it the Silmarillion show.
It's the it's not really the Silmarillion. It's more like the appendix.
Yeah, I know, but still, the Silmarillion show sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. Anyway, it's called Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power.
Rings of Power.
It really should be called D&D Random Adventure Number 26.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you told me you've watched two episodes.
I did. I watched two episodes.
Did you like it?
Yeah. Well, I watched two episodes, and you should be proud of me for getting through both episodes.
Yes. If I don't really have much of a horse in this particular race. I
sent my horse home after the second episode.
Long-term readers, maybe listeners, will know that I have issues with the movies. The trilogy movie. So
yeah.
I had issues with the Hobbit movies.
I never even made it through the Hobbit movies. The big battle with the orcs outside the Dwarf's Mountain. Mm-hmm.
The Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah, thank you. The Battle of Five Armies. I shut off the movie during the Battle of Five Armies and was like, I'm over this.
I don't think I ever got that far. Don't mess. If you're going to mess with a book like the Lord of the Rings or the Game of Thrones or even the Sword of Frickin' Shannara, don't change something unless it makes the movie better.
I forgot about Sword of Frickin' Shannara. I made it 10 minutes into that one.
No, you made it into a show from that universe, but it wasn't the Sword of Shannara.
Okay, I made it 10 minutes into a show from the universe of Sword of Shannara.
Yeah, that was I think that was a prequel. I don't even know it. I mean, the Sword of Shannara was a 70s attempt to recreate that feeling you get with the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and you know, if you want the feeling you get from Lord of the Rings, just go read Lord of the Rings. So as we've been having this conversation, I realized that there's actually a couple fantasy series outside of Lord of the Rings that I did enjoy. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's any secret that I have almost zero tolerance for fantasy series outside of Lord of the Rings.
Okay. I did not know that.
Oh, okay. Well, now you do. But it's not a thing that I've realized for a really long time. I just kept thinking that I was loving fantasy series and just not liking this one that I'm reading right now. I should have picked up on what was happening long ago. But anyhow, I did enjoy the Thomas Covenant books, even though it had the contrived, we have to travel someplace to keep the story moving. What I liked was that the hero was actually an anti-hero who had no interest in being part of the quest and was actually straight up neurotic about the whole thing.
Well, he was straight up neurotic, period. The problem, yes. The problem there, though, and I agree with you, right? He borrowed so many things from the you got the slow speaking giants.
It was obviously just totally cribbing.
But Thomas Covenant himself was in fact the anti-hero of anti-heroes.
Yes, and that's why I enjoyed that series.
But his constant dwelling in his own neuroses was sometimes tiresome.
True, but that's also an appropriate reaction to being around that character for as much as we were. He would become very tiresome to us.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. So Lord of the Rings,
other series.
Yeah, other series. Go ahead.
Dragon Riders of Pern.
Oh yeah, those are great. Not a quest book.
I really, really enjoyed those.
Not a quest book.
And not a quest book. That's right. Yeah, I think the big thing that bothers me about fantasy series is that they're all a quest and they all have the Lord of the Rings characters. Just sometimes they have different names, but sometimes they don't. It's like, okay, you have to have an elf, you have to have a dwarf, you have to have a wizard, and you have to have a hobbit. But the hobbit sometimes can be a different species, and you have to have a human. You know, that sort of mix. It's like, you have to have that, now you go on your quest, and let's go visit all these different locations, because that's how we're going to contrive a story.
That's our excuse for putting words on the page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Well, aren't we positive people today?
I am super high maintenance when it comes to reading stuff. So Lord of the Rings, Rings to Power, is theoretically the story of the last alliance of elves and men. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
So it's the end of the Second Age, sort of the beginning of the First Age. It's the fall of the downfall of Numenor. The corruption of the Numenoreans by Sauron, theoretically at some point it'll involve the Valar turning to the creator's name. I forget the creator. I can't believe I'm forgetting anything. To sort out the Numenoreans. And here is my big problem with this show. First of all, they're making stuff up left and right. Mm-hmm. Right? So they're like Galadriel. First of all, the casting of Galadriel. She's a wonderful actress. To me, she's not an elf. She would have been a great Eowyn. Just an amazing Eowyn.
Uh-huh.
Right? She does not feel like an elf to me. Secondly, she's not involved in any of these stories. In Tolkien's writings. And that annoys me. Thirdly, there is this amazing story to be told from this period of Tolkien's prehistory, or, you know, the 10,000 years of history that he wrote as a backdrop to the Lord of the Rings. And
talk about world building.
Yes, for sure. The story that Tolkien tells is one of it's about kingdoms and it's about kings and queens and heroes and big events. And the story that these folks are telling is they're mean stories in the other usage of mean. right? It's they're little tiny stories about individual people, and that's not the story here to me. That's not the story. And in addition to that, they're like looking back at this age as one that is like somehow, to me at least, it seems less advanced than the events in The Lord of the Rings in the Third Age, at the end of the Third Age. And in reality, this should be like, I mean, the folks in the Third Age should be effectively like, you know, somewhere between medieval and Renaissance compared to the Roman Empire at its height. I mean, the Numenoreans were super advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And the elves were super advanced. And instead, we get this like this much more primitive feel, and they're just telling, like I said, these small stories with small people and mean stories. And I don't get that choice, and I'm not enjoying that choice.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, and I figure getting through two episodes was actually pretty good for me, because after the first episode I was done, and I thought, you know, I gave Game of Thrones one episode and was like, I just can't do this. And
what, the new one, House of Dragons?
Oh, I haven't even tried starting that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, the original Game of Thrones, I watched that first episode and I thought, you know, if I want to watch Dallas and Middle Earth, I found the show for me. Cause that's what it felt like.
Hmm.
What's the other one that, Wheel of Time.
Mm.
Yeah. That's the other one that came out, just a few months ago, right?
Wheel of Never Ending Quest. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. End of the first episode. I was actually pissed off because there's no way for me to get that time back.
Well, I do possibly have a way. First of all, I don't recommend that anybody be as uptight as me when it comes to things like The Lord of the Rings. It's just no good will come of it. Secondly,
yeah, it's not healthy.
I do have a way of looking at the Rings of Power in a way that may make it enjoyable. And if you look at it as a random fantasy show, or, you know, like D&D Adventure number 26 or something like that, it's pretty good.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
The imagery. Yes, I will give you that. I mean, holy crap, it is beautiful. And I did enjoy getting to see locales in their prime that we see in like the Lord of the Rings movies, where they're kind of in decay. So that I did enjoy that.
Mm, okay. Fair enough.
But, you know, you could have just shown me the art for the scenes, and I probably would have been just as happy. Like, oh yeah, that's really cool how they envisioned this locale when it's in its glory.
Fair. I do to address an elephant in the room. I don't know if you've seen any of the racist whining about there being the nerve of them putting black actors in the show.
I have seen that. And what is wrong with people? Holy crap.
Yeah, I got no truck with that.
Don't be racist. All. Just yeah. Don't be racist.
I listen, it is true that Tolkien's world was largely white. And in fact, that people with brown skin or black skin were often evil men. This is a true thing. However, it is 2022, and I don't care about the race of the people playing the characters.
Yeah, same.
I don't care. It doesn't bother. I mean, saying that only white people should play elves is ridiculous.
I agree. And actually, I enjoyed seeing a diversity in the cast.
I just
for me, that actually worked.
I don't even care. It's more like The show is well cast. Again, my complaint with the wonderful actress who's playing Galadriel is that she doesn't feel like an elf to me. She feels much more like an Eowyn kind of character. That aside, she's a great actor. She's doing a good job. Outside of that, the people that they have cast play their parts really well, and that's kind of like the end of it for me. They play their parts well. I don't care about the rest. You know what really helped me sort of do a shift around this is Hamilton. Seeing all these people of color cast in these roles of rich white dudes was rich white ladies too was really helped me sort of shift my perspective.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's good that we're always working and pushing ourselves to become better people. And here we are.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So that's the Lord of the Rings. Why don't we do ZocDoc? What do you say?
Yeah, it's like you read my mind. All right, everyone. So here's the deal. ZocDoc. You need a doctor, right? Clearly Brian and I need doctors on so many levels, but you decide you need a doctor and now you're frustrated because you can't find the doctor that's right for you. You can't, which then means, how do I get my appointment set up and get something that works for me when I need it? And the answer is ZocDoc. So what they have is a service and an app where you can go and find the doctors that have the specialties that you need and check out the reviews and find the doctor that's just right for you and then get your appointment set up at a time that works for you. And in many cases, you know, you can have an appointment that's like within 24 hours, which for a lot of doctors, you know, that's just crazy. That doesn't happen. So, you need to get a doctor. You need to get your appointment set, and you don't want the stupid headaches that go along with trying to deal with all of that. Then check out ZocDoc. So, it's like millions of people are using this every month. And if millions of people are using it and finding the doctors they need, odds are you will too. So here's what you need to do. Go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free and then start your search for the top rated doctor that you need today. And like I said, many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM, ZocDoc.com/ACM. And hey, thank you, ZocDoc, for being our sponsor.
Indeed. Thank you for being our sponsor. We appreciate it. You know what, Jeff? I think I'm going to have, hopefully, by the time anyone hears me say this, take out that bit where I was whining about some writing. If I can find a way to edit that out, I'm going to do it.
Well, I think the way you can do it is you leave the introduction, leave our initial banter, and then just cut to the ad spot, and we'll move on.
Clearly, as everyone listening knows, that's not the route that I took. So let's see here. We are
spoilers, Brian.
Apple did a media event.
Last week, and I totally missed it.
Well, you were at the WordCamp.
I was at WordCamp US. Yeah,
right. How was that, by the way?
Which was awesome. Oh, it was fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. It was so great to get to see so many people that I know in the WordPress community, and then make new friends on top of that. It was an absolutely wonderful event.
Did you figure out how to make our website better? Because I mean, that's all I care about.
Oh yeah. I already knew how to do that. We have someone do it for us.
Oh, excellent. Did you find the person
to go to San Diego to figure that out?
So you didn't find the person to actually do it for us then?
You know, the funny thing is it didn't even occur to me while I was there that I should find us someone to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just so happy to see all of these people that I know in the WordPress community and to get to spend time with them for the first time since the pandemic started.
Spoiler, by the way, another spoiler. By the time you're listening to this, we still have not sorted this out.
Brian, that's not a spoiler. That's just a given.
All right. Must be a day. That ends in Y. Right. So Apple did a media event thing last week where they introduced, well, I don't know, I think it was new iPhones, new Apple Watch.
New iPhones. Yeah. New Apple Watch. And, new AirPods.
AirPods Pro.
Well, AirPods Pro. Right.
Right. And anything else?
That's a really good question.
I mean, I feel we should know the answer to that.
We should. Hey, I have an excuse. They announced the launch date for iOS 16, which is out now.
Yeah, iPad OS 16 is not.
It is not. That's coming, I'm guessing, in October. They didn't say, but I'm guessing October.
Yeah, that makes sense. 15.7 was released, and I do recommend that everybody update to that.
Yeah. If you're not going to iOS 16, at least install the 15.7 update. It has some important security fixes that you're going to want.
And definitely do it on your iPad. Because iPad OS 15.7 is out.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right. So where do you want to start?
Well, should we start with the obvious? What did we get?
Sure.
Order? Okay. What did you order?
Oh, good. We're going to start with me. It's my favorite topic. I want an Apple Watch.
Okay.
Don't need a new Apple Watch. I want the iPhone 14 Pro, but did not get the iPhone 14 Pro, nor do I really need it. But I'm keen to play with the Dynamic Island. And not play with it, to experience it, I suppose. And what I did order is a new pair of AirPods Pro.
Okay. New AirPods Pro. They have improved noise cancellation.
Improved noise cancellation, yes. So I am interested in that. Plus, of course, the lanyard clip. I'm kidding. I don't care about that at all.
No, I think you really do.
No. Nope.
And that's okay, Brian. It's okay for you to be excited about the lanyard loop.
Do you know, by the way, if existing leather cases will work on the new case? Except for the lanyard thing, which I won't be doing.
I mean, from what I have seen, because I have been doing some research so I can figure out if I need to buy stuff or just blow it all off, it sure looks to me like the case is going to be the same.
It does look, I guess I will know here in a couple of days. The case on it also has an improved speaker for finding them. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the AirPods Pro that have the new speaker?
AirPods Pro, they have improved speakers. They have the H2 chip instead of H1. And then the case, I think it has a better speaker. The new AirPod Pro also has that little indentation on the side of the shaft, which is what I think volume. So you don't have to sit there and smack your ear. Like if you're on a web call, you can just put your hand up and slide on the side of the
right,
you know, where the battery is.
Radio. Yes. I'm seeing that.
So how is it that the guy that was playing in San Diego instead of watching the event knows more about this than you?
Are you just meeting me? How many years did we spend with you being the person that actually paid attention?
Okay, good point. I can't argue with
that. I mean, this is on you, man.
You're right. That's all on me. Yep.
That's so ridiculous. I got a lot going on. I know you had a lot going on too, but had a lot going on. Plus, you can get the Memoji if you really want it on your case, which I don't.
So, why not? Don't you have a cool Memoji?
I do. I don't want it on my case. Plus, I put my case in a case.
Oh, I get it. You don't want to put baby in a corner.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah. Oh, the new case is also, by the way, the charging case, is sweat and water resistant. That's cool.
That's nice.
Yeah. And see, so precision finding users, I'm quoting, users with a U1 enabled iPhone can locate mm-hmm. their charging case with guided directions. That is definitely handy too.
So that's iPhone 12 and newer.
And the charging case also has a built-in speaker to deliver louder tones, so it's even easier to locate. Okay, so I did get that part right.
Yep. That's awesome.
And extending battery life on these things too.
Yes.
That is great.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Okay, so that's all you ordered?
And you can charge the charging case can be charged on an Apple Watch puck.
Oh, so it does Qi and Apple Watch puck. Okay.
Yep.
That's really cool.
That is cool. It's handy. It's probably not a game changer. I would even say that if you have the previous generation of AirPods Pro, mm-hmm. probably don't need to upgrade, right? I have the previous AirPods Pro.
And you needed to upgrade.
I know I didn't. I didn't need to, but I wanted to. I wanted the improved noise cancellation. I'm doing an overseas trip here mm-hmm. Shortly in a couple of weeks. And that was my excuse for getting them. The other features are nice, but if you're happy with your AirPods Pro, I don't think anyone needs to feel like new product envy on this.
I'm with you. I did not replace or buy new AirPods Pro. I think if I was still traveling a lot, like I was before the pandemic, then I probably would, specifically because of the improved noise cancellation.
Yeah.
But fair enough. I'm very happy with my AirPods Pro OG, and I don't see any need to replace it.
Yeah, they're great. They sound great. You know, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want a new Apple Watch, you want a new iPhone, but you did not order those.
I have not yet, in part because I didn't want to risk such a big purchase somehow arriving late after I had left.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
And also didn't necessarily want to be traveling with the newest. And, like, if anything's mm-hmm. going to happen, I'd rather it actually be happen. If something's going to happen to one of my devices and I'm thinking about upgrading, I would rather do the thing where something might happen and then upgrade later if that's what's going to happen.
Okay, I'll accept that. So I did not order AirPods.
Okay.
Like you, I want a new Apple Watch and I want a new iPhone. I held off on ordering the iPhone because I have an iPhone 12 Pro that isn't quite 2 years old yet. And so I thought I'm not in a position where I need to rush and order one of these. Also, when everything went on sale, I was busy. And so by the time I got a chance to even look, everything was already backordered. So my strategy now is watch and see how my friends that have ordered the new iPhones like theirs. And then maybe in a month or two, I'll get one. Or maybe I'll decide to hold on to the 12 for another year.
What makes you want one?
It's the cameras. I'm really excited about those cameras. Also, after seeing stuff today, or on launch day, whatever, I can't keep track of time anymore, so I have no idea when it is right now. But on release day, friends that were getting their phones earlier and then were... like showing me photos of the screen. I'm really interested in that new screen. Especially I went to see how that, island, Dynamic Island.
Yeah,
how that works. And then the other thing that I'm finding very compelling about the new phone is the automobile crash detection.
Hold on before we get there. Does it like Dynamic Island sounds like a reality TV show? This week on Dynamic Island,
Bill it does and have Bob that sound.
Fight yes. to the death dynamically.
Yeah. Dynamically. Tune in after this break. Yeah. Oh, and the other thing that's compelling to me is the emergency satellite alert thing, SOS thing.
Yes. And the car crashing stuff is definitely cool.
Yeah. And you know, I figure someone like me who does a lot of backcountry stuff, having the ability to use a satellite network to get an emergency message out in a situation where otherwise I would not be able to contact anyone.
Yeah.
That's pretty compelling.
Yeah, it is very compelling, especially for you. Which is interesting. We'll get to this, but it was interesting because to me, I thought that the Apple Watch Ultra was 100% aimed at you.
Oh, it absolutely is. But here's the problem for me with the Ultra. It's really big.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it would be much bigger than I would want to wear on a daily basis. Therefore, I would end up having two Apple Watches, the one I wear most of the time, and then the one that I wear when I'm out like in the backcountry. And I'm not going to do that.
Now, are you going to try one on? Are you going to stick one on? You're going to go to an Apple store and stick one on?
Of course I am. Yeah, I absolutely am going to try one on and see what I think.
Because its features really are aimed at like you're probably like an entry level outdoors person that's aimed at.
Yeah, I feel like I am part of that target audience for that watch. Yeah,
I mean, as Apple was describing it, as I was watching the media event. You were the very first person I thought about.
Yeah. And as I was learning about it, I felt like Apple was designing a product with me and people like me in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I did not order an Apple Watch Ultra. And I had decided that I would hold off on ordering any Apple Watch. On the day before launch day, I ordered a 41 millimeter Series 8.
I see.
Yeah.
And what did it do?
So what compelled me to get the watch was at the car crash features, because that's built into the watch as well. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing was my Series 4, because yes, I'm still rocking a Series 4. The battery life isn't as long as I would like
anymore. Sure.
So for me, if when the watch was new, I could do a day hike and still have some battery life left in the watch. Now, if I do a full day hike, I'm probably not going to have a battery on my watch when I'm done.
Got it.
And that just kind of defeats the purpose for a lot of my use case for the watch.
Sure.
So I decided, all right, I'll get a Series 8. I went with 41 millimeter because I prefer the smaller watch. And that's what I've had all along was 41. Well, I guess before it was 38 millimeter. And the Series 4 went up to the 41 millimeter, as I recall. Anyhow, so yeah, I went with the smaller size. And of course, by the time I ordered it, it was back ordered for a week or two. So I won't see mine right away.
It's coming in October?
Mine's supposed to ship as early as September 20th, but I'm not counting on it.
Well, that's just a couple of days from now.
I should have it by the end of the first week of October.
That's just a couple of days from now, unless you're listening to the show, in which case it was probably 3 weeks ago.
In which case, I love this watch, Brian. It is really nice. I'm impressed with the display. Also, I borrowed a friend's car and rolled it just to see how the crash detection works.
Yeah.
Related. Sorry about your car, Brian.
It's all good. It's all good. I think my AirPods Pro are supposed to be here in a couple of days. Supposed to ship in a couple of days. I don't know. Something like that.
So Brian,
yeah,
on the new iPhones, mm-hmm. As I was doing all my research and looking at the photos on Apple's website, I was thinking, okay, iPhone 14 Pro in black. If I get one, that's what I will get. And, okay. And that's good. And then on release day, I started getting photos from friends and videos from friends with their purple iPhones. I'm going to get a purple one if I get one.
Really?
I can't believe it. Just that. Yeah. There's something about the purple that's drawing me in.
I see. Are you going to stick it in a case?
I'm going to stick it in a clear case.
Oh my God. I hate clear cases. Oh, I hate clear cases.
Okay, so I have a clear case on my iPhone 12 Pro now, and that's because I bought Apple's hard-sided silicon case that matched my phone. So it was the blue phone and the blue case, and it looked really cool, and the case is straight-up garbage. And so I needed to replace the case a few weeks ago, and I was looking online, and I ended up getting this clear case that does everything I need. I think I got a spec. It's either spec or what's another company starts with an S. Spigen? Does that sound right?
Yes. S-P-I-G-O-N. Is that right?
I think that's it. It was that one. You know, and so I picked up this case for like $11. It's actually much better than the $50 case I had on it. And it's clear because that's the color that was available. And I'm looking at this blue phone that I have in a clear case. And much to my surprise, I actually kind of like it. So I'm thinking if I do get a purple iPhone, I'm going to put it in a clear case. So it's very clear that I've got a purple iPhone.
Fair enough. Everybody's wired differently. I've never liked clear cases.
I didn't until now. Mm. So, but you know, hey, I'm going to roll with it.
My problem with the clear case is this: you get a clear case so you can see the iPhone, but the problem is you're not seeing the iPhone. You're seeing the iPhone through a clear case, which means you're not seeing the iPhone.
You're thinking about it way more than I am.
Well, yes. Again, it's like dude, you've known me for years. I'm a weird bag of neuroses. So here's an interesting thing.
But you're my weird bag of neuroses, and I do love you.
Oh, thank you. So while you were talking about all of your needs or whatever it was.
I was going blah, 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 and not saying Brian.
Yes. I was going through the ordering process for an iPhone Pro. 1 terabyte black.
Of course you were.
And well, I was kind of curious as to when I could see it, when I could actually get one, because I'm thinking like one thing that I'm being kind of stupid about is I'm going to a touristy place. I'm going on a tourist trip and I don't want to take the latest, greatest camera, which seems kind of weird, but whatever. Anyway, so I was looking at what my delivery options were, and here are my two delivery options. I can have it tomorrow between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. for $9. Or
okay.
I can have it delivered between October 17th and the 24th. Those are my two options for delivery.
I can't wait to hear about your new phone tomorrow.
I don't think, Brian, I will.
This reminds me.
I might.
I don't think I found out about an app that it's on GitHub. And it is so cool. It's called Inventory Watch. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes. So it's this app that some guy coincidentally in Boulder wrote. And what it does is it checks the inventory at whatever Apple store you want for whatever device you want and lets you know what's available. And it can do updates like like every minute if you want.
So you don't have to like constantly like choose each model and see what the inventory of see what the availability is. It'll just give you everything at once.
Yeah. Yeah. So like right now I've got it open because I opened it earlier today just for fun. And 29th Street Apple Store, which is the one that's closest to me. iPhone 14 Pro, wind turbine, deep purple, available right now. Also gold. And then they have gold in 256 and deep purple in 512. So
I see.
This is a really cool app.
I see. Do you know, by the way, cases? I'm asking for a friend. Do you know if cases fit from the 13 to 14?
No. The volume buttons, at least, are offset by like about a millimeter from the 13. It's just enough that it's going to screw up the case, or at least pushing the buttons when it's in the case.
That makes sense. I'm just saying that if I did get one, I would need to be able to get a case.
You'll be able to get a case. They'll have some in the store.
Yeah, Apple, I want the Apple case. I mean, I like those BlackBerry cases. You've seen the BlackBerry cases.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's an idea. You get whatever case you can tomorrow. Yes, I am absolutely being an enabler right now. You get your new iPhone, you get the case that you can tomorrow, and then order the case that you actually want. And if it shows up before the return period is up, then take the Apple case back. And if not, okay, now you have a spare case, or you give it to a friend, or sell it on Craigslist or whatever.
I'm going to actually have to think about this, because that whole going from like 12 megapixels to 48 megapixels.
Okay. So that's really, really cool. So for those of you that haven't had a chance to read up on how the 48 megapixel thing works with the new cameras, it's a setting where you can choose to take 48 megapixel cameras. Your images will be four times as big as they would have been with an iPhone 13. The default setting is it takes 12 megapixel images, but it's using all 48 megapixels. So it's grouping the pixels together so that you have more light for the 12 megapixel image than you would have with the same photo on an iPhone 13 Pro.
Right. Which is cool.
It is cool. Also a 3X zoom, optical zoom now. So that's kind of cool.
So you know how if your lens is powerful enough, you can essentially see back in time. You are seeing back in time.
Yes, that's true.
So do you
that's how the James Webb Space Telescope and the Hubble Telescope work.
Yeah, the telescopes work. So do you think I can get a picture of the Queen with the new iPhone 14 Pro? And also, yes. Is that joke too soon?
Yes, on both counts.
With all apologies to our British or other subject listeners.
To our friends in the United Kingdom.
Yes, to our friends in the United Kingdom. Which, by the way, is where I'm going to be. I'm speaking at the London Mac User Group with my mom, Nancy Gravely.
That's so cool.
On, I think it's October 11th. So if you're in London and you're part of the Mac User Group, if you're in London and not part of the Mac User Group, you should probably join the Mac User Group. And regardless, we'll be there speaking.
Brian,
yeah.
You know that I host the Mac show on the British Tech Network.
I do, yes.
Yes. So on Fridays, that's when the show is. So next Friday, every Friday before you speak at the London Mac User Group, I'm going to make an announcement on the Mac show for the British Tech Network, so people know, so more people can come see you speak. I have spoken to them remotely, and they are an absolutely wonderful group. Fantastic. So I have no doubt you're going to have a splendid time hanging out with all of them.
Fantastic. And then also UK-wise, I was just this week on Charlotte Henry's The Edition podcast.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. We talked about Apple's new stuff from a media consumption and production standpoint. So,
wait a second. You've already been on a show where you talk about all this new stuff, and I still had to cover for you on all the new stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, this checks out.
Yeah. 100%. This checks out. This is the way.
This is the way.
The camera, fantastic. The dynamic island, very interesting. One of the things, by the way, that I immediately noticed about the dynamic island is that the spot in the dynamic island. So what the dynamic island is, it is essentially a repositioning of the notch, but it is a repositioning of the notch in a way that makes dynamic use of the space, and they use it for notifications. But here's the thing. The spot in the dynamic island that actually covers the lenses is not actually, it is, I don't think any information is ever displayed on that, across that.
That, I believe you are correct on that.
But they're doing it in such a way that you won't think about that.
Right. Yeah. It's possible that the little, the little orange or green dot that we get on the screen to let us know that an app is using the mic or the camera, they might have little lights in that area for that. I can't remember. But other than that, no, there's no information that shows up in that area. So they're doing this really cool, clever trick where there's a cutout in the screen where the sensors and the cameras are. And then everywhere else around that, they're just using pixels to create the illusion of the rest of this dynamic island that's growing and contracting depending on what's happening.
Yeah, and it is all rather clever. And then you've got just like a, I don't know, maybe 5 pixels across the top where you've got screen. But I don't see that being I wonder if anyone's going to find a way to actually use those pixels, or if
someone will.
If it
there's a lot of creative people out there.
There are a lot of very creative people, for sure. Apple didn't show us anything like that. Mm-hmm. But my sort of point is that if anything, it increases the unusable space on your screen. But I think that it does so in a way that is more aesthetically pleasing than the notch per se, because they're taking this black spot and turning it into a feature as opposed to a notch, as opposed to they're making all of that space seem usable, even though it's not. Or seem used, not usable, used.
Yeah, depending on how you expand out that island for whatever it is that you're doing, that space above the island, those few pixels, that could become a useful area, but it's more like it would provide some sort of very, very simple information. You know, like dots or small icons. But it's not like you're going to see stuff up there that you're really going to want to tap.
Yeah.
Although what it may do is make it easier for people to be able to do the thing, you know, where you tap at the top of the display, like in Mobile Safari, and then it scrolls you back to the top of the page. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you have to kind of tap a couple times to find the right place to hit it. I bet that'll be much easier to do now because you have a visual for where you need to tap.
You know, I just probably need to get one so I can experiment with this stuff.
You know, I hear that that there are some at the stores near you.
I can't pick it up at the stores near me, but they will bring it to me. They'll courier it to me.
Yeah, well, okay. Brian, I hear you can have one couriered to you.
I can, yes, have one tomorrow.
And you can have it tomorrow.
Tomorrow. I need to figure out how I got my last one. I can't remember if I did it on, if I finally moved away from AT&T's next plan and just bought it, because I think that's what I did.
Yeah, I could see you doing that. I mean, that's what I do.
First world
problem. I just buy my phone out right now.
Yeah, I probably, it's the same, or put it on the Apple Card with interest-free payments and then pay it off when I want to.
Yeah, which same thing. Yeah. Bonus of doing it that way, people, is that you can buy your phone unlocked.
Yes.
So you pay for the phone outright, and now you can take it to any carrier you want.
Yes. Good times. Good times. First world problems for sure. Lucky us to be able to talk about these options.
Right.
Good times.
Yeah. Brian.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, how do you feel about the move away from physical SIMs in the new iPhones?
Yay. Why? Do you have a problem with that? Does anyone have a problem with that?
I do not have a problem with that.
Who does? You asked me in a way that suggests that someone out there is kvetching.
Oh, of course people are kvetching. I mean, there's a whole internet out there of people that are kvetching. The people that I have heard complaining about it most commonly are people that live in the United States but travel enough that they routinely buy physical SIMs in other countries.
Oh.
And they're concerned about whether or not they'll be able to get physical or digital eSIMs. Wow, eSIMs in all the places that they travel. So you do need to double check before you travel if that's a thing for you.
Yeah. God, you know, I'm going to be in England soon. I should probably figure that out.
You'll be able to get an eSIM.
Yeah.
Also, there's a thing with eSIMs.
Yeah.
You have the two eSIM, active eSIM virtual slots, but your phone can store up to 8 eSIMs.
Mm.
So you can have these multiple SIMs and then swap them out depending on what you're doing or where you're going.
Yeah. SIM cards have got to go. I like that Apple's been pushing this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I get someone being frustrated if they are experiencing personal friction with that. I get that. And I honor your frustration if that's happening to you. In general, the industry needs to get past the SIM cards. They're a pain in the butt. They're annoying. And they're a relic of the past.
And less secure.
Yeah, so yeah, getting to the point where people aren't experiencing friction is obviously the end goal. What I don't know and have done no research in is, does it still have a SIM tray also?
No.
Mm.
iPhones in the U.S., iPhone 14s in the U.S. do not have SIM trays at all. iPhones outside the United States will still have a SIM tray.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. I have to show you the one feature that I think is bonkers, over the top, most amazing of all in iOS 16.
Okay.
And it's the feature that doesn't have an elegant Apple name.
Okay.
The one that cuts the background out of images. Holy forking shirt balls. It is good.
You've experimented with it.
I have.
This is iOS 16, not
this iPhone is iOS 14. 16.
Got it.
Yeah. And so because we're all about making sausage right now,
mm-hmm.
I am going to text to you right now.
Okay.
The first image that I tried, at least I thought it was. Okay, here we go. That's you. I love making sausage like this.
Still don't see it.
You'll see it now.
I might, by the way. I might edit this out.
Yeah, just like everything else.
Wow.
Okay, so for those of you that are playing along at home, I just sent Brian a picture of a sunflower that that I have cropped out of a photo that has multiple sunflowers in it. And all I did, I was in the Photos app, so this is a photo I took, tapped on the sunflower that I wanted, and it starts this magic glowing line around the flower that I want. And then I'm like, yes, that's the part that I want. And that's it.
Stick this photograph in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll stick that in the show notes.
Okay.
Sure.
So,
and so there are multiple sunflowers and multiple green stems together. And this, this feature in iOS 16 cut the one sunflower out that I wanted and did an amazing job. This is the kind of image, cutting, background removal that a few years ago would have, cost people a lot of money to do or taken them a lot of time. And now it's just tap done. And now I think when I need to isolate an image from its background, I'm probably just going to put it on my iPhone, do it, and then send it back to my Mac.
Send it back to me because I asked you to take care of it for me.
And then send it back to you because you asked me to help you out.
Yeah, because doing masking is something that I'm particularly not good at. And
but now you are.
But hold on, I've got questions. At first glance, mm-hmm. all I saw was amazing. But then this is what I started thinking about. There are sort of hairs on a sunflower's stalk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like some of those hairs should be sticking out from the stalk and that they have been cropped out.
They might be.
You see,
keep in mind, you're looking at this on a white background. So some of those might actually be there. That said, they might be gone. I can't tell when I zoom in on this.
You see the ones that are in front of the stalk. Yeah,
it actually looks like they're kind of gone.
Yeah, see, I think they're kind of gone. So next, I'm actually seeing some green spots between the petals that I feel like shouldn't be there.
Yeah. And yet, at the same time, when I look at what happened with this photo.
Can you send me the original?
Yeah,
I can. Can you post both of them in the show notes too?
Sure, I will. Okay. The fact that this did what it did, and all it took was me tapping on a sunflower, and it created something this good, that is straight up remarkable.
100%. This is like at least 10 times, if not more, better than anything that I could do. This is a task I am not good at, and. From that standpoint, yes, but it doesn't feel perfect. Are you sending me the original?
Oh, I guess I should actually do that
while I'm talking. It's not perfect. It's good. It may even be really good, but it is not perfect. And so, you know, my question, I guess one of the questions I would have is, is it tweakable?
It's a digital image. Anything's tweakable. But I know what you're getting at. Like, do I select this and can I refine it before it cuts? And no, you can't.
Got it. Interesting. Like, there's a big gap in two of the petals at the very top. Definitely.
That's actually there. Oh.
The gap. Wait, the gap looks great, except for there's some light green showing towards the base. It feels like that should be gone. There's then two petals to the left, in between the two petals and three petals to the left, there's a lot of green showing that feels like it should be gone too.
And when I went and found the image, mm-hmm. You know how I said there were multiple sunflowers?
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong. I thought I had worked with a different image. But this is an image where there are green trees in the background.
And the green that I was talking about, that I was whining about at the in the top gap, is actually part of the sunflower and should be there.
Oh, yeah. I'm zooming in. Yep.
And several of the greens.
And actually, are showing. All the green that that I think you're complaining about is green that should be there.
No, it's not all part of not the green from the tree in the background between the second and third petal to the left of the gap.
Hold on. I have to.
No, I'm looking at it, man. I'm positive.
Get the other image up.
I'm confident.
Oh, just at the top.
Yeah, yeah. At the base towards the, I don't even know what you call it, but the center part of the sunflower, that part should definitely be there.
The sex place. The sexy pad.
Yes. And it definitely cut off hairs that were sticking out.
Yes. Okay. So, Brian, while you're bagging on this, holy crap. What this did was amazing.
It again, yes, 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 yes. And but you picked a particularly difficult image.
I intentionally picked an image that I thought was going to be difficult.
Right. So if it can do that kind of job that fast, that easily on a hard image like this, it is definitely incredible. And I'm not trying to bag on it. I'm not even trying to nitpick. I'm just trying to be objective.
Yeah, and when I look at this objectively, I'm just blown away. Because keep in mind, this is an, oh, by the way, almost throwaway feature from Apple's perspective in a consumer operating system.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
This is the kind of thing that Adobe should be embarrassed that Apple did.
The judges will allow it.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if you wanted to have that super, super accurate, where all the little white furry spiny things on the shaft of the sunflower were there. Okay. You're now getting back into like doing, masking with professional tools.
Yeah. Yeah. By someone who's got a lot of time invested in learning how to do it. Hey, one more thing before we go. I know we said that about 15 minutes ago.
Right.
Another thing that Apple did is, for the first time, introduce a large screen iPhone not in the Pro line. The iPhone 14 Plus.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I find that very interesting. Here is Charlotte and I talked about this briefly. It is reasonable to suggest that Apple has the data that says such a device is desired, that there are people who want the larger screen who don't want to pay the Pro price.
Sure. Yeah. They wouldn't make this if they didn't have data that told them this would be worth doing.
Okay. But this is the same company that introduced the iPhone 13 mini. And now they're apparently canceling it, the mini size.
Well,
and we would have said they apparently have the data to suggest that people want to buy it, and if people wanted to buy it, they wouldn't have canceled it.
So my take is they had data that suggested that this would be a good selling phone, and the mini, and then maybe it turned out that it actually wasn't. Hey, you can still have data that appears good and you don't get the result that you're expecting. And just because a device doesn't sell well in the United States doesn't mean it isn't selling well in the rest of the world. So it could be that the Mini is selling well in other markets. Well,
they wouldn't have canceled it.
Did they really cancel it? Is it really gone?
Well, they didn't announce a new one.
That's not the same as canceling it. How many years have they let specific models of iPhone just continue on without
not on a phone that was introduced at the fall event? I don't want to try to just nitpick here, but right. I mean, the SE was an off-cycle device. And the SE was the device and the iPhone product line, the SE is the one that was sort of allowed to continue for, you know, longer than the iPhone, the main iPhone product line cycle.
Yeah. And the SE, I mean, it's still on Apple's website.
The SE is, yeah, but is the Mini?
iPhone 13. Let me look at that. And yeah. Yeah.
The iPhone 13 mini
and iPhone 13 mini. iPhone 13 mini starting at $599.
Well, that was introduced last year with the iPhone 13.
Yeah. So maybe it's sticking around. Well, okay. So it's sticking around at least for now. And maybe the mini and the SE are phones that that are fitting in markets outside the United States, which would not surprise me at all.
Hmm.
It's kind of weird they still have the 12.
Well, I don't... Yeah. Anyway, all right. Regardless, it is... I usually sort of default to this idea that Apple wouldn't be introducing something if it didn't have the data to support its desirability.
Right? I agree.
But the same thing would have been true of the 13 mini, and yet apparently it didn't sell well enough for it to be updated to the 14 mini. And instead we got the 14 plus. So I guess we'll see how that does. I would assume this device family, the 14 family, is going to be a pretty hot seller this Christmas.
I'm guessing so too. And I like how they're differentiating the models now. So it's not like you go into the Pro line, but you have to get the Pro Max to get all the features you wanted. You go to the Pro line, you get all the features.
Yeah.
And then you have the not Pro line and you have all the not Pro line features.
Yes.
And it's just, you're, at that point, you're just picking the screen size you want.
Right. Which is that.
Yes, batteries. You're just picking your screen size.
Yeah. So good stuff.
I think this is a much better way to differentiate.
I suspect that the 14. I see what you're saying now. They're using the moniker of pro or not pro to be the feature differential rather than the because before it would have been like it was the 13 and the 13 Pro and the 13 Pro Max, all of which had different specs slightly.
Right. Yeah. And the features in the Max were always the ones that I wanted, but I don't want a screen that big. Therefore, I never got the features, all the features that I wanted, because I didn't want that screen size.
Right.
I can get a Pro phone, pick the screen size.
Is that because they left out something that they could have done in the Pro Max, or because they actually figured out a way to do everything they wanted to do in both sizes?
I think it's more the latter.
Probably. I suspect that the Pro Plus is going to be a popular device. We will see.
Yeah, I think so. Apple's biggest phones sell well.
Yes, they do.
Oh my God.
All right, man. Why don't we cut our losses?
You know what? I'm with you.
All right. So let me do this first. And then note that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, you can contact us over at contextmachine.io. You can reach me on the Twitter tweets at GeekTels. Jeff, where are you?
I am on Twitter and Instagram. Jay Gamut on both. I'm Jay Gamut basically everywhere.
Do you have jgamut.com? All I'm saying is that I have geektales.com.
I have jgamut.com and I have jeffgamut.com.
Oh, nice. I don't have brianchaffin.com or bjaffin.com.
Oh, you should.
There was a young actor, he was young at the time, younger than me, period, who had brianchaffin.com at one point. I don't know if he still does.
Oh, well.
Can you believe that I haven't put research into something involving me? That's weird.
That is weird.
That actually
is weird. Brianchaffin.com. calm.
Let's
buy it right now.
Oh, look at that. It's not available. Huh, or it's not a thing. Cool. Yeah, I should go check. I should go check before people hear this and realize they have a money-making opportunity to squat on my domain.
Right. Okay, so everyone, knowing how Brian actually does the stuff on his to-do list,
yeah.
Ask him to make you an offer on brianchaffin.com because you clearly just bought it and are willing to sell it to him.
One last little plug. I'm going to be doing a Twitter Spaces with Kezia Barnett talking about her new NFT project called Fairy Tale Dreams, which is an AI mm-hmm. art project she's doing. I think the art is amazing. It's going to be on Thursday. What's the date of that? Thursday to 22nd, September 22nd.
Okay.
At 6 p.m. Pacific. Figure it out from there. We'll be on
do the math, people.
We'll be on the Twitter Spaces talking about her art.
That's very cool.
Thank you. And on that note, do we need ZocDoc?
Yeah, let me tell people to go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free so they can start their search for a top-rated doctor today. And don't forget, many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM, ZocDoc.com/ACM.
Fantastic. Thanks to them. Thanks to all our listeners. We appreciate you. And with that...